Good evening, this is Rabbi Maevsky. Tonight's shiur, we want to wish Chayei Reichel Basara Refuah Shleima, and very appropriate also because we have here the illness of Yaakov and Yosef and how they handle it. But more than that, we come across a very interesting subtext here in the parsha, and we've dealt over here with the jealousy that Yosef has been afflicted with from his brothers and his father not helping particularly at the beginning. And we see a lot of things that are trying to extricate themselves from the situation. Yosef, as I mentioned last week, is trying to determine if the brothers have had any growth in terms of being able to deal with their jealousy and if they've gotten over it and if they've formed some sort of achdus so that they can move forward in the galus, which would be very instrumental in surviving a galus, which they expect at this point to be 400 years. Not that 210 would make much difference in terms of the future. We don't see that far ahead now in our own lives. But the reality is Yosef has to go through certain tests. And we see last week at the end of the parasha something very interesting that everybody asks. And Chazal give these answers, which are very unsatisfying because it doesn't seem to be. When Binyamin finally comes down before this whole incident that with accusing Yosef of being, that he has to beg for Yosef's life and things of that nature. But the reality is that he gives Binyamin 5 sets of clothing, gives the other brothers only 1 set, and they try to say that the 5 sets were worth a lot less. I mean, the 5 were not as good quality and the one quality, even one that they gave. But I think at this point in time, since the way we're discussing and Yosef is trying to flesh out his brother's feelings, is to see what in reality, how far have they come in growth. And we keep seeing the test going on. And we get it all the way, and the fact is, was this actually a test by Yosef to see if he gave Binyamin, his brother from the same mother, 5 sets of clothing, would the other brothers actually react in a negative way? But of course, when Yehuda steps forward and right away stands up for Binyamin regardless, instead of letting him twist in the wind, makes that impassioned plea, Yosef realized they've reached the next level, which they passed that test. But it doesn't end there. And when we begin the parasha this week, we have something very interesting. Yaakov, not to say that he hasn't learned his lesson, because we always like to say, and the Gemara makes a point of saying it in Sanhedrin in various cases later on in the Masechta, but a Gadol Hador certainly has the right to, even though certain things maybe are not proper for the average citizen, the Gadol Hador has a right to test certain things and to make himself the object of a certain situation to see how far Klal Yisrael has gone, because he knows he's a role model and he wants to set up. And we have that right away when Yosef is summoned. He says, Hinei Avicha Choleh, and he summons, Yosef is summoned, and he brings, Yosef brings Menashe and Ephraim. And of course, Yaakov says, Vayomer Mi'ela, there's so much spoken about Vayomer Mi'ela, who are they? Of course, he knows that these are the sons, but these are your sons who, they were born in Mitzrayim. Who are they? I don't know who they are. Are they really these special people? Are they your sons who are Egyptian, or are they your sons the way you were brought up for the first 17 years of your life? And so far, it seems that at this point in time, he is semi-convinced of who they are. And, of course, his nevuah, now that he's calmed down, Yaakov, his nevuah has come back and he's able to see the future. But the interesting thing is, he said, Pasuk says, Vayivarech es Yosef Vayomar, and he blesses Yosef and he says, and what does he do? He doesn't bless Yosef at all until later on. At this point in time, he says, Hamalach go LLC mi kol ra. He blesses Yosef's sons. But of course, as we know, when your children are being blessed, that's the greatest blessing that a parent could want to have, obviously, because even that point is Yosef is not looking for the blessing. He doesn't need it anymore at this point in time. He is a grown man with his children. His life is set up in front of him. Of course, we still want our fathers affirmation of the way we've lived our lives, and he wants his father. But by blessing his sons, he's putting his stamp of approval by seeing that Menashe and Ephraim will be great people. He's putting his stamp of approval on the way he raised his children, and which is a tremendous blessing for Yosef. But it's very interesting. The minute that Yaakov, right away, he puts his right hand on Ephraim, and then the left hand, and Yosef complains and says, "Si kelis yadav ki Menashe habachar." Yosef is unsure at this point. Yaakov is, I guess, convinced at this point in time that he sees that the relationship between Menashe and Ephraim are not strained in any way at all, that they really are, one is not jealous of the other, and he feels they could handle it. But Yosef thought of on one level, as I've always thought when I had these discussions with my father, Yosef was saying to his father, "Listen, we had all this aggravation. I was sold down here to Egypt, and only by the good graces of God have I survived this long to reach this point in time. If not, the brothers have obviously tried to kill me. You messed up our family. Why are you playing havoc? You're starting up with my family now. I didn't ask you to do this. You're putting Ephraim before Menashe." But the interesting thing, not that, is what I wanted to focus on, I call this shared priorities. And what I mean by that is it's very unusual that when we give our blessing, of course, on Friday night, initially, by the way, the bracha for our sons, Birchas Habonim, was originally only set up to be said once a year at the Seder on Pesach night. And then, of course, later on, when it was accepted to do on a more permanent basis, it was also supposed to be initially on Saturday night, Matzah Shabbos after Avdolah. A father would say that to the son, because Shabbos, we didn't need particularly the bracha. We're home enjoying and doing the mitzvahs of Shabbos. When we're getting ready to go back to the work week is when the proper time for Birchas Habonim would be. And, of course, obviously, when we make Avdolah nowadays, everybody scatters very quickly sometimes, and so Friday night was the auspicious time to do it. It would seem to be the proper time. But getting away from that, we always pick, when we name a child, we look at it and say, we hope he emulates some great family member or some other big tzaddik who lived before. And we give that child a name. The Gemara says that's the at least one time in our lives when we have a little bit of nevuah is when we name a child. Sometimes it seems to bear fruit. Sometimes we can't make head or tail out of the whole scenario. But here we say, Yisimcha Elokim ki Ephraim u'ki Menashe. Isn't that a little strange when we think about it? Because Ephraim and Menashe on the surface would seem to be, as we're told by Chazal, two very different people. Ephraim, in these 17 years that they were together, Ephraim was sitting with Yaakov and learning all this time, while Menashe was accompanying his father on things, matters of political matters, grew up in the palace. He was the translator. What we see that Yosef spoke to his brothers, and Menashe was the interpreter, and things that were told in that way. They were two very different people, and Ephraim seemingly was the big tzaddik, the learner, the cerebral one. And Menashe was more the politically, savvy person. He knew how to handle the... So one was a secular person, one was a learner, one was that Beis Medrash type guy, and one was the basically a secular person. And so how does it work out? Yisimcha Elokim v'chiv Ephraim v'chiv Menashe. Doesn't it seem a little strange? Well, which one do you want him to be like? And the answer is a very simple one. We're giving us a general idea is when we prioritize our desires for our children, there's something that's very interesting. In fact, it is a lot of times we have when kids are growing up in yeshiva, and not everyone is going to be a rabbi. Not everyone is going to sit there and be the top student learning in Gemara, making chidushim and having all these sorts of things. Some people are just growing up to be good shomer Torah mitzvos, good citizens of the world, good citizens of Yiddishkeit, a credit to their community. But they're not learners. They're not the type of people. They go into business. They're very successful, and they give a lot of tzedakah. There are the people that are spiritual. There are people that are secular. And the answer is we want you to know that very simply, Yisimcha Elokim, God is okay with both tracks. Yisimcha Elokim Ke'efrayim v'chimnashe. You could be one or the other. You could be a little bit of both. The important thing is to believe in Yiddishkeit and to follow the doctrines of the religion. And that's what we're trying to do. Yisimcha Elokim Ke'efrayim v'chimnashe. Either one or both. And that is the lesson of Ephraim and Menashe. But Yosef is very concerned over here at this point in time over how this will fly with Ephraim and Menashe. And we're told that we see that this is wasn't the same thing, that they had this love for one another and they wouldn't fall into the trap of jealousy like the other brothers. And these are the same thing that we see also. And Yaakov realizes the same thing that happens when he gives the brothers their bracha. We notice something else that's also very, not strange, but Yaakov is also doing the same thing with his other sons. And I don't mean by not saying nice things to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, but what he's doing is that Zebulun and Yisachar, it's Yisachar and Zebulun, he starts off in doing Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and for the first four sons, he's giving them an order of birth, and we, even though he wants to, you might think he would pass over Reuven, and because of the way he felt, taking away the Bechorah, but the fact is he didn't. But when he gets to Yisachar and Zvulun, suddenly the Pasuk changes the order and says, Z'smach Zvulun b'tzeitzecha v'Yisachar b'yo'alecha. He changes around Zvulun and Yisachar. They're all standing around in one room. Maybe he should be concerned that that would concern Yisachar, that he was being passed over. But at this point in time, Yaakov was also sees that the relationship, as he's seen them for the last 17 years, their relationship has grown to the fact is they became close in terms of, as we know, their relationship that Zvulun would do the business while Yisachar sat and learned. Although, as I mentioned previously, that Yisachar was the stay-at-home businessman while he learned, certainly, while the ships were out, bringing home the merchandise that needed to be sold. But the fact remains that Yisachar, when they brought home the merchandise, then Zvulun would go back out on the, so to speak, go back on the road, go back to the sea to bring home more merchandise to sell. It was left up to Yisachar to do the salesmanship of the merchandise that they brought home. So it was a very good relationship, but one supported the other, and therefore Zvulun gets the schar that he gets first. And so, but to keep that in mind, just to show that Zvulun is being, not so to speak, Yisachar being passed over, but since Zvulun is doing the support for Yisachar, that is a tremendous mitzvah that he's doing. So what we see this is they've grown to the point where Ephraim and Menashe have grown. Yosef and his brothers have grown. Yosef saw that when Binyamin got the five sets of clothing, the other brothers weren't upset. They accepted the whole thing because they readily understood at this point in time when their father was dying, it seemingly at this moment. Obviously, we see later in the parsha that they were nervous, because what we have to understand over here is one thing that I always harp on is that I found it very strange that he would put Heyosfuvi Agidu Lochem Esa Sheri Yigro Eschem Yachris Hayomim Hikavtsuvi Shimu B'nei Yaakov. You know, why would he say to them what's going to happen in the end of days and then not tell them anything? This was all a ruse because they expected their father to say not such nice things to a few of them, because at this point certainly we can assume that Yaakov knew the whole story, or maybe most of the details of the story of Yosef's ending up in Mitzrayim, how that all happened. And at this point, he made peace with it. But the fact remains, at this point in time, they're getting nervous. And this brings about the point over here, is that they're all in one room. And Yaakov wants them to understand. He thinks perhaps that maybe they won't all gather. And they, you know, I want to come and I want to talk to you. And then maybe somebody won't show up. But he gives them sort of like a little, I want to tell everybody the future. And it's sort of like he grabs them on. It's like we're watching and, you know, the big story comes up after these commercials with this tagline. We're trying to get them all into the room. And, of course, once they're all there, he starts to lace it into Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And the fact remains that why would he do that in a group Why would he tell all the brothers together in one room? I think I remember in yeshiva, if the Rosh Yeshiva would want to take one boy and read him the riot act or say things that he needs to improve in certain areas, and he would take him privately into the office. You don't want to embarrass the person publicly. But Yaakov, on this going against the grain, he had all the 12 sons all in one gathered together, and now they were all being told what lies ahead for them. And the brachos that Yaakov gave them was Ish Asher Kivircha So Beiracho Sam. He gave them exactly, he told them the truth for all 12 Shvatim, and he did it with on. And Yaakov was trying to give them the message that we have to be united to survive the gullus that we're about to get into. We have to, each person has to know the pluses and minuses of the other person. Where one person falls down, the other person is able to pick him up. If one person is poor and the other brother is rich, then he has to sustain him, just like Yisachar and Zebulun, that is their job. If one person has certain faults, the other person could fill in the gaps for that person, and vice versa. Wherever somebody falters, the other person is there to pick them up. But only being together in one room and understanding each other can we survive the gullus. And we see that in Eretz Yisrael now. It's amazing how what we're watching is that all the people, whether they've had different opinions up to now, people sit down in cafes and they have great arguments over what Israel should do. But right now we take a look at all the stories that we're hearing come out. As much as people have different political views, they understand one thing. We are, regardless of the fact that we're living in Israel and we have a state, obviously we're still in Golus. And when we're in Golus, what we need is Achdus. Without Achdus, we will never survive. So it doesn't matter who's up and who's down, who falters and who doesn't, who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. The number one issue here is, are we all Jews? We're all in it together, because it doesn't make a difference in the end whether you're Ephraim or whether you're Menashe. God is on the side of all of us Jews. And that's what we have to remember when we think about our daily lives. And that's why this parasha is so appropriate to end with Chazak, Chazak, V'nischazek. If there was only thing we think of all the things that we've just been through, all the nisyonos that Avram had to endure, and Yitzhak certainly with Esau, and Yaakov, all the trouble that he went through, with never 1 minute of complaint at all. And Yosef at the end, when we see all of these things, the growth of the people, and there's finally this tremendous unity, but yet the Avos, the time period, the epic of the Avos has now come to a close, and Yosef, Vayisen Barom Mitzrayim, and now the brothers will have to, and the families, the generations after, will have to fend for themselves without their protector, Yosef. Anochi, when Yosef says, Anochi achalkel etchem v'yestavchem, Chazal tell us that he misspoke. At that point in time, he never should have said that. He made it sound like the future was in his hands at that point. But what happened is, the next pasuk begins, Vayomas Yosef ben Me'or Ha'asishonim. He should have been, you know, the idea was that not Anochi Achalkel Eschem V'yestabchem, that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is Mechalkel Chaim B'chesed, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is doing all these chasodim for all of us. And that's who we have to pray to. But with all of that, we need the Achdus and understanding that whoever's doing the prayer, all prayers are equal. All lifestyles are equal because we're all Jews. We must maintain our Achdus, whether we're Reuven, Shimon, Levi, whether we're Menashe and Ephraim. That is our goal. If that goal is met, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows, just like Yosef knew when the time was to come clean, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will know when it's Achdus and Klal Yisrael, now the time is right to bring the Gula Shalema. Thank you and have a good evening and have a great Shabbos. Chazak, chazak, v'nitz chazek.